what you normally do. It's saved for posterity.
We work for the English Language Institute, which is the department on campus that teaches English to non-native speakers. And we are recording between 150 and 200 hours of various kinds of classroom and non-classroom academic speech events for the purposes of providing language teachers and students and linguistics researchers with authentic data about how people really speak, not how textbooks have them speaking. If you have any questions or objections to being on the videotape or included in this project, you can see me afterwards.
What your behavior means.
other people's behavior in the evenings. Mark?
They have different beliefs, different cultures.
Beliefs about what?
Beliefs about everything, about religion, about what makes right and wrong.
You can even tie in that article in the Voices of the Sun on the different color. Like, What? You could tie it in, but yes. So, like, their culture is different. And so they don't know the American law for certain things, so they don't know if they're violating it. But they think it's right, so their norms aren't necessarily ours.
Okay, so culture is shared. So it's not just the way that we individually interpret our experiences, but it's something that we share as a group, right? And then people come in from the outside and they haven't been here as part of our group in what?
And then they violate, or they go against our culture.
They don't necessarily give the same meaning to...
Well, yeah, exactly. They have different cultural backgrounds and stuff.
Okay. So what about this political culture stuff?
I guess you could say it would be how people interact with the government and how they feel about the government. And basically, the government of a country set the tone for the political culture of that country.
So maybe it has something to do with government. What else? We talked about what is politics, right? Stacey?
Political culture is like your values and beliefs and everything to be geared toward the politics.
So what's politics?
Stuff that's political.
What's politics, Mark?
Political culture, part of our political culture is freedom.
Oh, part of our political culture is freedom? That would go under if we had another category up here and we had American political culture. Put freedom under there. So what is that? And we relate that to what's that over here?
From our experiences.
Is that we experience freedom?
Societal goals.
We do?
Believe.
We might believe in freedom?
Strive, maybe. Because it's not necessarily freedom.
It's a belief. It's maybe something we value. And then we have questions about, is it something we attain? All right, so what else? What's politics? Is it just government? Remember we had this discussion on the very first day of class, and I said, this class is not, this class is not what? American government? Very good. This class is what? American. So what else did we talk about? And?
Collective action.
Collective action.
And getting collective goods for everyone.
And free riders.
And Mark's favorite free riders.
Common goals.
Politics is all about how we deal with each other, right? Central to the idea would be, what about a big P word?
Power.
Power. Politics has to do with how we distribute power, right? Now, some of that we do through government, right? That's what you've been studying for a semester. part of that we do what? If we don't do it through government, we do it.
Ourselves?
He's on fire today. So, political culture, what is it?
The methods in which we interact with one another in order to attain power.
Well, that sounds like politics.
Yeah, what was the question?
What's political culture?
It's the way we do it, like, you know, like the style. It's like our culture.
Do we agree with her? Yeah?
It's our attitudes or our involvement in politics. How we perceive the political system.
Okay.
Of course, I guess.
Maybe it has to do with perceptions. Amy. Look together for me, Amy.
It's like our ideas and beliefs about what the government does and then what it should be.
We have ideas, beliefs, attitudes. Wow. Where? Not only where power belongs, but how we get it there. Government is about, right? We think we need some sort of central authority, right? Because we want what?
We want representation.
What do we want from the government?
Collected goods.
Collected goods? We want stuff?
Mm-hmm.
We want stuff we can't get by ourselves?
Right.
Yes.
I have a question.
Yes.
I don't really understand how that. Like, I don't think that makes sense as political culture.
Why?
I don't know. I just don't. I feel like culture should be like.
What should culture be?
I don't know. But like, I understand like the attitudes and beliefs part. But like,
uh-huh.
I don't know. Never mind. Comment was wrong.
So Professor Walton gave you the example of the stop sign, right? What's the stop sign? Well, tell me what the example was. Somebody repeat it for me.
It's like you just see the shape and then you automatically hear
abandonment.
I think he heard correctly. If you happen to go through the stop sign, you immediately look around to see if anybody saw you violate a law.
So what's the point there? All right, let's try this. What does the stop sign mean?
Stop.
What does the stop sign mean? What does the stop sign mean?
Stop.
What does the stop sign mean? Stop. What does the stop sign mean?
Stop.
Okay. Do we have some sort of agreement in here about what the stop sign means?
Yeah.
How do we get there?
It's a level stop sign. It's in the name.
Okay, what does the red light mean? What does the red traffic light mean? Stop. Okay, what does the red traffic light mean? Stop. Next. What does the red traffic light mean? Yeah, okay. Is that better?
No.
Okay. So, with this culture. So we all think it means the same thing? Okay, Brett, so what happens if somebody comes from another country and tries to drive on our roads?
Might not necessarily understand that a stop sign means stop.
Yeah, or that a red traffic light means stop, right?
Or that we drive on the red side.
Or that we drive on the right side. Is "we drive on the right side" written all over the place? No? Would we do it anyway? Most of us? Yeah? Thanks?
So, it's just like the common beliefs, attitudes, assumptions about how we view the power works in our nation.
It's our assumptions about how things work, right? It's our assumptions about how things work. It's the beliefs and values that enable us to give the same object or the same experience similar meaning, right? So you and I come to a red light because we live in the same culture and have that same shared experience around what a red light means. We both know that it means stop, right?
But it's like a never-changing thing, like always growing. Like with the stop example, that's
mm-hmm.
kind of more concrete, like stop always means stops.
Mm-hmm.
And I would say that for the next 100 years, it'll probably always mean stops,
mm-hmm.
stop. But with American political culture, like it's always changing, and like during campaigning, the way you do it, it's always different, so.
Right, well, there's nothing that says that we have an American political culture that has the same values, beliefs, and assumptions forever and ever and ever, right? No, I mean, it's still made up of the same things. Assumptions, beliefs, values.
It's like based on the same
but
that it grows.
What those values are can change over time, right? Yes. Okay, so we understand what political culture is, we think? Where do you get it? Where does it come from? Margaret?
Socialization.
Socialization. Can anyone tell us what that means?
It's like through our daily norms and through our life, we're told we have to do something this way, and therefore we become accustomed to it.
And so we start out as itty bitty kids.
Right. It's just you practice what you see everyone else is doing. Like in Ann Arbor, stop doesn't mean stop.
No, it doesn't.
So maybe it does when you're, you know, so like you were saying, it is always changing.
Mm-hmm.
Stop, to me, stop doesn't mean stop.
Stop means slow down, so don't take someone look and keep going, right?
And red light means yeah. But you know what I mean. It's like what you see.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm sure a lot of people came to Ann Arbor and they're like, oh, I'm gonna stop, and then they see no one else stop.
Mm-hmm.
Keep going.
So where does the socialization come from?
Society.
Society. Socialization from society. Isn't that kind of like answering the definition of the
You learn from what's like around us.
Who's around us? Parents,
teachers,
family,
school.
Your peers, your school,
media.
Anyone who we have contact.
Political events, media. Okay, so tell me how some of those things work. What'd you learn from your parents about politics? Brett.
They usually tell you, well, they usually brainwash you and tell you to vote their vote. So you don't really, I didn't really learn to watch your mind. They're just like, vote, whatever.
They told you to vote?
Well, I mean, over time, they're like, yeah, I'll, they're conservative, so they're like, they just kind of say stuff like liberals don't really know what they're talking about, that kind of stuff.
Okay.
So,
oh, is that a common experience of you?
No.
I heard someone say definitely.
I just remember my dad had to secretly vote for Dukakis because my mom would get really upset. Like she didn't want us to hear about it.
Okay. So they tell you. So that's a pretty. Pretty obvious form of political communication, right? I mean, we're explicitly talking about candidates, and we know that that's political. What about other ideas they pass on to you? Mark? Other ideas that you think might fall into this political culture thing?
They might have like a bumper sticker. No, they don't say anything. You like see it every day.
That's true. You may never have a meaningful conversation with your parents, but give you indicators of where they stand, right? Okay. Right.
You could, they pretty much give you your morals for the most part, and then that has a lot to deal with politics.
How is that?
Because there's maybe they're really into the environment or whatever. They despise wasting and all the toxins going into the atmosphere. So they install values that environment's really important. So instill values the environment's really important. So then you look at in politics for who strives to help the environment. So that's how it might be.
Right. Super. Very good. Yeah. So they give you values about what's important, right?
Yeah.
Right? And so politics is a lot about deciding where resources go, right? So when you're making your decision about where resources go, what do you think about? What's important to you, right? Okay.
Another thing is you listen to you just hear your parents talking to other people and mm-hmm. in conversation, and you kind of just believe that everything they say is correct. So you tend to, when you're young at least, and then you take those with you, and then those become your beliefs.
This is the thing about your parents, they get you from the most impressionable age on, right? We got 18 solid years to brainwash you, right? What else do they give us? So they give us ideas about sort of political candidates and that process. They give us ideas about what's important, where we want our resources as a society to go. What else, John?
Well, yesterday in the dialogue, we had those people walk around with big signs with poles attached to their waist. Yeah, and you saw little 5 and 6 year olds handing out the pamphlets for the parents and holding the signs up for the parents.
That's pretty political, right?
Yeah, it shows you how, we would think that's totally wrong, but the kids don't know any better. The kids know.
So what are those children learning about politics from that experience?
Yeah, whatever the parents say is right, no matter what's coming out of their mouth.
What else are they learning?
He told me I was going to hell. Little 5 year old.
And take me out.
I don't think so.
All right,
but what are they learning about politics?
Practical, what are they learning?
Yeah.
They're learning to become active.
Active. They're learning that being active and participating is important, right? Their parents are showing them that. Did anyone stop and think, why aren't these children in school?
Yeah.
What's that?
I just said that.
Yeah?
Yeah.
So, I mean, their parents, right then and there, are teaching them your political action is more important than what? The social norm of going to school?
Probably not school. That's what I'm up to.
That's when you start school when you're being older.
So, what else do we learn? What else are they learning? So, since it is on you, you're going to hell. So,
just the little kid, not the big one.
What do you think that they're learning?
Not good things.
What do you think they're learning about people that are not like them?
And if they're not like them, they're wrong.
And what? How do you think that they transfer that into political meaning?
That only can be seen what they believe is correct ever. Because they're very, extremists. So if they don't agree with something, they probably go with the kid or something else.
Yeah.
It's very extreme. They're very extreme in their beliefs, so they're not going to compromise, no matter what.
What do you think they would think about government resources going to activities they feel are
not acceptable,
not consistent with their beliefs? They might not even think that people like Stacy should be eligible for college money from the government, right? Why waste our public money on Stacy? She's going to hell. Do you see my point?
Yeah.
There's a they're learning something about people who are not like them and what that should mean for them politically.
Where else do you learn about people who are not like you? And what you should do about people who are not like you?
School.
School? How's that?
Teaching you diversity and like opening, what school should do is like open your mind to like different cultures, different types of living so you can be more accepting.
So you can go to school, private schools, religious schools, schools in Utah, schools in Michigan, schools in New York City. So it depends on geography.
All right, so we talked once about who thought they really went to a desegregated school and how many people thought they did. Did I agree with?
I really might have been.
Really?
No, I swear.
It was like 45% Asian, you know, maybe like black wasn't that represented. There was still like maybe 10%. And then you had whites, but you had whites of all different religions. You had Jewish, Protestant. You had, so I think it was. And they did teach a lot of diversity. Like, you know what I mean? Assembly, assembly.
What about your peers? Do you think you learn
not that way?
Do you think you learn about diversity just through being there with people who were in it?
Because mainly, you know, you're not, you learn they're just like you. Everybody's just like you. There's really no difference.
If you didn't have that experience of being personally exposed to people who were not like you, where would you get your information?
Media?
Ooh, Tony.
Yeah, because I went to a school that was certainly diverse. It was like 30% white, 30% black, 20% Mexican, 10% Asian, and and then you have 10% of what's left. And, well, no, I'm saying it was everything. So,
okay.
And so it was an inner city school, and like all the schools in like the surrounding area, like everybody had this image that, you know, like from the media, from the newspaper, the Lansing State Journal, which is, well, anyway. So everybody in the surrounding area thought that Lansing schools were horrible, and you can't learn at a Lansing school, and you're gonna get shot if you go there. And you can't get any help. You can't learn anything, of course. So like kids honestly would ask us like, how did we get into Michigan? And were you scared to go to school every day? And stuff like that. And they get that from, well, I guess their parents too, but mainly the media. So that's one of the, like, media definitely influences how you perceive other people.
How's that politically important?
Because that's how they think about it. They see people that aren't like them that didn't go to school. They didn't go to the best school or whatever, that they're not like them, they're different, they're inferior.
What about their information about what's the cause of that?
The cause.
Yeah. So what about, so they said, oh, you can't learn, people are shooting each other. Right. Why?
I guess because they weren't white. That's what we always thought.
Because of their own political cultures.
Because if they feel that people aren't learning their rights, why not learn to shut them down? I don't want funding going there while I'm not going to support this candidate or I'm not going to support this group. So that shapes what they think about.
So we have value about who deserves government money and who doesn't.
When you go to school in a place that's very diverse and it's forced to be that way,
mm-hmm.
through affirmative action or whatever the cause would be, like my school was quotas for race,
uh-huh.
and when that happens, they try to force it down your throat, the idea of racial equality and that diversity is good, and
mm-hmm.
when it's forced like that, when it's forced fed to you, it doesn't work, and they keep trying to arrange it different ways to get more minorities into into different schools, but if it's force fed like that, it just doesn't
work. Why didn't it work?
Well, it didn't work at my school.
Why didn't it work?
Because you're going to associate with the group of people that you're used to. So you're still segregated technically because you're just not.
It didn't work because perhaps other certain elements don't associate with Asian. We need to put all the people.
Your school can be showing you all they want that this is a good thing. What if your other sources of cultural knowledge are telling you it's not?
That's what happens.
Okay. You already have all of these beliefs in your head that you got from your families before you even went to school, so it all comes into play. Everything is built on the others.
Mm-hmm.
Today.
Mm-hmm. So what do we think about people who are not like us?
Are true, but they don't. I don't think they do.
Does they have consequences about what they think the government should do?
Yeah.
Like what?
In terms of, I guess, abortion.
Abortion? Yeah. Okay. So what do they think about that?
They think that they're very, very scared if the new Supreme Court justices that might be appointed are of Bush's choice, that was a big threat to
Roe v. Wade.
It scares them.
What else? What did you know about other cultures? Did anyone encounter new cultures when they came to Michigan?
People only know about other cultures on a superficial level,
mm-hmm.
from what they see other people doing or from what they hear through media or through school or through their family. But if you don't live like that culture lives, or like that race lives, or that religion, or any other diversity, then you're not going to see it, you're not going to understand what goes on in that culture.
We tend to have real nice things to say about people who are different than us, generally speaking. What do you think? We as Americans, do we generally have nice things to say about people who are not like us?
I don't think we make a broad based generalization like that.
You don't think so? How's that?
I just don't think we can. I think that America is made up of many different types of people, and I think some people are very accepting and others aren't. And that's reality. And so some people have nice things to say, or even if they don't have nice things, they don't know enough. But I don't think you could classify. Maybe we could take a census of, like, you know, the census just went out. Maybe we could, like, put another one out about how do you feel about people that are different.
I don't know, they have surveys like that.
Okay, so maybe
we were talking about the national election studies.
So we could get a hold of some of those.
Get into war, you go in there and you say, we're going to kick Saddam's butt, and let's go in there and kick the commies' butt because they're wrong. Democracy in America is the greatest thing in the world, so let's tell the Chinese they all need to change their laws. And to some extent, I mean, America's presence in the world is seen as the finger pointer, and at times we become the policeman. I think that we harp on differences more than any other country, but at the same time, it is the fact that we do that that makes us increasingly, I don't know, progressive, I guess.
Other responses? Mark?
Well, in addition to that, I mean, Canada makes our country look insecure. Like, we're scared that, for instance, like, the communists are going to take over, and so we have, like, we feel we have to stop them.
We fear what we don't know. We don't know a whole. I mean, okay. So there were the communist hearings. You saw the. You went to lecture. You saw the little political ads. You saw the Johnson ad where you had the little girl and the suggestion that she's being blown up by a nuclear bomb, right? A lot of fear going on there. How much information do you think your average American had about what communism was? Just that it was bad. Yeah. That it was different from us. Yeah. Katie?
I was just going to say that people do fear what they don't understand, and lack of knowledge and resources of all of these different cultures, different, you know, styles of doing things lead us to believe that ours is the right way and the best way to do something. So people are definitely.
And it's within, like, our own country as well. It's not only, like, the way we deal with other countries, because, like, there are lots of different people from different countries who are now American, like, first generation, second generation. And, like, the way we treat them is, like, the same way we treat other countries in terms of fearing them and not caring to get to know them. But I think it's just because, like, there's also safety in, like, knowing what you're used to, you know, like, used to your type of people because you're comfortable with it. And that's also where the fear comes from.
Stacey?
I think it's kind of, like, two different things, though. Like, what she was saying about, like, the country and, like, not being able to generalize it, like, and what he was saying about, like, the way we are with other countries, like, I feel like the way we are internally is different than the way we, I do feel, do you know what I mean? Like,
mm-hmm.
When internally, like, I happen to not agree with you, like, while it's a nice thought to say that the majority of the country is open-minded, like, I don't think they are, you know? Like, I actually used to, but I don't as much anymore. But I feel like, so while we may not all agree in the same country, I feel like when we're up against another country, like, the way we feel we're better is as a whole we're better, as opposed to, like, individual, like, small groups being better.
Mm-hmm.
I think it was on Leno or Conan O'Brien last week.
To quote the Eternal Scholar.
No,
yeah.
George Bush was on.
Oh, okay.
And,
the scholar.
Go ahead. They were still doing him, and one of the things said there was, at that time, I don't know, maybe 2 weeks ago, there was a lot of conflict about in the Middle East, and one of the things he said was, we got to get those Arabs over the barrels, and there was a whole blow up about that because, like, the whole Arabic community was all angry because you're not, like, you're fighting Iraq or whoever, I don't even know what's going on, you're fighting
I
don't know what's going on.
Country Israel.
Yeah,
it's fighting with the Palestinians.
Yeah. But you know.
Over land in the Middle East.
Yeah, the fact, that's not my point. The fact is that he said Arabs, and he was referring to only, like, one. He meant to say Palestinians, I think. But he referred to, like, the whole Arabic bloc.
Mm-hmm. So what does that story tell us about politics?
That
and
even
groups?
The guy who might elect as president doesn't have the knowledge of what was socialized wrong.
What about the role of groups in politics? Can you tell us a little bit about that? Politics doesn't just run on individuals, right? We want to get something done. We talk about this collective action. We want to get something done. We got to get what? A group of people together to do it? How do we do that? Okay.
Get people, you know, to get together with us and have the same beliefs as us and the same, you know, values and want the same thing in order to get that done, because if you have a group of people who have competing interests, you're never going to get anything done. You're going to be first.
So there's two ways to do that, right? You want to get people together, have common interests. They can have common positive interests and a common negative interest, right? So we can all want the same good, wonderful thing. Or we can all want to prevent someone else from having some good, wonderful thing, right? Does anyone see where I'm going? Yeah. We talk about racial politics. What's that? Racial politics. You hear it in the news all the time. Playing racial politics.
Supporting people of your race.
Supporting people of your race?
Trying to appeal to minority groups.
Trying to appeal to minority groups, right?
It's kind of like you bring in a Supreme Court justice and he's of the minority just so you get that group. Or, you know, get the Southern vote or whatever.
So we might do something symbolic to get that group on our side. Or what else might we do? What if we want all the Southern white people on our side? Kate?
Pass some type of, or urge for some type of like civil rights legislation or something that will help people of that group and make you see that you're an advocate of them.
Okay, so that's how we get minorities on our side. What, are we always helping minorities?
Opposing viewpoints and pressures for groups that think that there are other issues to deal with.
Yeah,
you can get more votes from the majority, so you don't always go with the minority if the minority's interests really conflict a lot with the majority's interests, because you're really mostly concerned about keeping your job.
Okay, so let's pull power back into all of it. So we thought about what do we think about people that we don't necessarily know a whole lot about, that seem like they're sort of different from us. But we have beliefs about that. Does that shape our beliefs about government and power and where power belongs and what power should do? Yeah? How's that? Brett?
Because maybe you think that the other person that you don't know very much, or the other ethnicity that you don't know very much about, lacks, like, they're inferior to you or whatever, that you're superior to them or whatever. So then you don't want someone of the opposite ethnicity having power over you, like having like your Congress job or for that district or your governorship or whatever. Because you feel that they don't know how to run things because you know how to run things, your race knows how.
What about some other ways that we get some different ideas about politics, where power belongs? So is anyone in here from Detroit? Anyone from Detroit?
Detroit.
Detroit proper.
Detroit.
Detroit. Anyone from Detroit suburbs? Who lives in Detroit?
No one.
About a million people live in Detroit.
Not that 1 million.
African American.
Latinos. A lot of Hispanic people.
I was in Detroit last
time. Sorry. Before the riots, they were holding some riots in the 30s and 40s and then in the 60s, right? Who lived in Detroit?
Everybody.
They had a population of 1 point of about 3 million. Detroit was a pretty gosh darn big urban city. They had this whole auto industry thing going for them, right? Then what happened?
Suburban.
people to start moving.
Because the people that were living there, I mean, they're minorities that wanted to live there, that were living there, and so they didn't feel there was tension between minorities and whites, and that's why they figured that they'd move to the suburbs so minorities could, because minorities couldn't afford a...
What I hear, because I've talked to my group, like, what happened would be one black person would move into the neighborhood and have it one group. That's what happened. No, that's the truth. I mean, people got scared. They didn't understand what was going on. One person would sell a house, then every person on the block would then sell their house and move.
So there's this movie. This isn't what the movie's about. There's this movie called The Color of Courage. Has anyone ever seen it? It's about Detroit. It deals with this concept. Restrictive covenant. Do we know what that is? Yes,
no? No.
Okay. It was an agreement among neighbors that you signed, supposedly a legal document, that said, I will never sell my house to a black person. Okay? Supposedly a legally binding contract among neighbors. It was part of how we kept neighborhoods all white.
It was a legal project,
supposedly. Okay. We have residential segregation in the north, right? We talked about this. We're in the south, we have Jim Crow, so we have lovely segregation. In the north, we have residential segregation. So we don't have to worry about segregation because we're never in the same neighborhood view in the first place, right? Okay, this is part of how we keep it. What does this do for us, me as a white homeowner?
It gives you power.
Mm-hmm. It supposedly protects my investment, right? Why do I care whether someone moves in down the street who's African American? One, because I might not like them because of just their race.
Yeah.
Two, because what do I believe that it's going to do to my property value? So, a couple things happen. One, there's a housing shortage in the African American community. Okay? They've been kept in small and black. This is especially bad in Chicago, but it happens here too. Okay? There's nowhere to live. Whether I want to live amongst a bunch of hostile white people or not, some of us have no choice. Some white people looking for some money, they're willing to sell me a house at a much higher price than my white counterpart would have paid. I'm now into this white neighborhood. Then what happens?
They all leave.
They think their property values are going down. I'm going to sell out. Quick. What else happens in Detroit?
Rotten.
Where do these people go? They leave Detroit. Are the big factories in Detroit proper anymore? Are the corporation centers in Detroit proper anymore? That leaves Detroit with what? No tax base, right? That money is gone. What would you do if you were living in Detroit? Get the hell on that, right?
Wait, why is their money gone?
Their entire corporate sector is gone.
Well, why can't the black people that are moving in become the corporate sector?
What do you know about this black wealth?
It's not strong.
It isn't. People have been keeping us from buying even small houses. Since we've been freed from slavery, people have found ways to keep us from accumulating any wealth in the first place, right? All the wealth moves out. Who can't move with it? Poor people, which tends to be highly correlated with African Americans, right? I don't have the resources
to go move somewhere else, right? Now, what happens in Detroit? What do you know about Detroit city government now? You know lots of good stuff about Detroit city government? You hear things like Detroit public schools are a mess. You hear things like they can't even shovel snow in Detroit.
Charter schools.
Trash.
You hear that there's trash, rodent problems.
Gambling.
Gambling? So, who's from a Detroit metro suburb? Do they pick up the trash in your neighborhood? What about schools? Yeah. Schools? Yeah. What about snow? Do they get rid of the snow? Yeah.
Hmm. Well, that's not public. It's not public service.
They don't pay. You don't.
Well, yeah.
The
I mean, on the
front
of the local road, it's not that.
The
driveway.
Streets. Yeah. But they clear the streets so you can drive your car on it?
Yeah.
Do you think the same thing about local government that people who live in Detroit do?
Nope.
Probably not. What do you think the difference is?
Well, the difference is we have a lot more capital to work with. I mean, we have a certain amount of money and a certain amount of people that are continuing the whole entire flow of keeping the city well kept, managed, organized, educated, and funded.
So local government's generally a good thing where you live?
Yes.
I mean, you might think you'd prefer to have a different mayor and, you know, I don't know, maybe they would put up a different color street sign or something. You'd be a little happier, right? But what do you think people in Detroit feel about their local government? I think I'd be too happy with it, yeah.
Well, the Detroit local governments are just as displeased with their own constituents as the constituents are with their government.
Yeah, don't confuse Dennis Archer personality conflict with. Right? So, what am I saying about culture? Political culture.
If any of you who participated in the discussion have just like a minute or two, we have really brief speaker info forms that we'd like to get from you.